Thank you, Adam. I love to hear that guy sing, don't you? Adam, I hope you always use that gift for God. Thank you for doing that today. You know, I just happened to notice there were some flowers on a couple people today. Did I hear right? There was 50th wedding anniversary to you two? Let's give them a hand. Alan and Sue Nakanishi, thank you. That is such a great thing to see people married that long. No, I'm sorry. Amen. I mean, Steph and I are 25. I remember when I thought 25 was like way out there. Here we are. So, congratulations. Yeah. Do you want to get away? You know, there's that commercial I'm sure you've all seen, that Southwest airline commercial that talks about wanting to get away, and they have those awkward, humorous moments. You know what I'm talking about? The one that I really like is when the woman finds herself in the men's bathroom. Am I the only one that like these things? I think they're hilarious, you know. And then they have these, you know, the Southwest has taken this slogan. I mean, it's a great slogan because they recognize that we want to get away. And we need to get away. And so they get this picture, this exotic places, you know, out there on the beach someplace, in Hawaii, the Caribbean, things like that. Or you go to the mountains, they paint these wonderful pictures. See, they know we need to get away. I saw that. You know, even the dogs need to take a break. Look at this one. I thought this was good. See the kid right here? Now, Mr. T, I know the kids. That's real, isn't it? Pulling on the computer as we're going on vacation, leave that stuff behind. You know, I just heard this story a couple weeks ago, a true story about a couple who had been married for quite a few years, and they were dairy farmers. Now, if you're a dairy farmer, they're very hard workers. They get up before the sun comes up. They go to bed after the sun. It's a very hard work. And you have to commit to it. And it's a 24/7, I mean, it's a tough job. Well, in 33 years of married and working on the dairy, now they were financially doing well from all the work over the years, but they had not taken one vacation in 33 years. In other words, they were just, man, just working all those years. Well, they finally took a cruise. Family talked them into a cruise, and they went to Alaska. And they went on this cruise, and they enjoyed it so much, they regretted, how come this is the first time? And so they were sending pictures to their kids, and they said, man, we're going to do this over. We got to do this again. We got to do this every year. This is too much fun. And they were so excited. And they get back, and this is a true story. They get back in 3 days, the guy dies of a massive heart attack. They found out too late the importance of getting away. The importance of getting away. Jesus understood the importance of getting away. In Mark, if you have your Bible, Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, it says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Now, if you go to the context, the disciples, the 12, had been sent out two by two, and they were going around to the villages. They were commissioned by Christ to go out and preach the gospel. So this is kind of their first experience going out on their own to preach. And they go out, and he gives them power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to even raise the dead. I mean, it's amazing. God gives them this power, and they go out, and we don't know exactly how long. But it must be quite a while, and they finally come back to Jesus, and they begin to share all the things they had done, the things they had taught, and you can imagine, it must have been a testimony meeting. Can you imagine Peter? I'm sure he's the first one to speak up and tell how God had used him, and then there's Nathaniel or Philip. Everybody has a story to tell, because I'm telling you, there's nothing like it when God uses you. And you see the power of God working through you. There is nothing in this world that compares with that. And so we know, and from the account of Luke, we know they came back with great joy. And they said, even the devils, the demons, are subject to us in your name. And so there is power, and you can imagine there was a great testimony meeting. And so they are excited, but Jesus recognized not only they're excited, but they are exhausted. See, they've been outgiving. They've been getting outgiving of themselves. And they've given everything. We don't know how long, but they've been giving a lot. You know, I tell you, it's amazing. I love when I look at this story and I think about those disciples. Do you think they were afraid when they were sent out two by two? Do you think they were afraid if Jesus came to you and said to you, hey, I'm going to commission you and so, I want you to go out and preach the gospel for the next week. I'm going to give you power to heal the sick and to do miracles and cast out demons. Would that be incredible? Well, guess what? Jesus is calling us to do that. But anyway, if you're a disciple of Christ, but can you imagine? I love to hear testimonies. I love to hear about lives that are changed and transformed by the power of God. Do you like to talk about the victories of God? When God gives us victory. Do you love to talk about how God uses you or uses us when we do something for Him? I got to tell you, and I'm being very careful, there is somebody here today that the power of God's been working in this person's life. This person is sitting here today, and I got a phone call. Some of you know who this is. I won't say the name. But we got a call just, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we talked about something that was going on in this person's life right here in Lodi. A person that was raised around Adventism, went, to the academy here, but has been away from the church for quite a few years. But what was happening is actually there was all this stuff going on in her life, all this bad stuff going on with her kids and so on, and it kind of turned her back to the Word of God, and she starts reading the Word of God. And one day she's in her bedroom, and she hears this whoosh noise in her room. And then all of a sudden she feels, she doesn't see this manifestation, but she feels this pressure on her body. And it's actually a pushing down pressure and even a forcing down of her head into the bed, the pillow area. Now, this has happened a few weeks ago and scared her, of course, to death. And all this was happening and a couple other encounters. Well, through that, we got a call. And what I don't want to tell you all the details, but I'm going to tell you, Vern and I had an incredible experience of seeing this person come to Jesus, and this person is here today. And I'm telling you this because just by me saying that tells me that God is working in this body, in this place. God wants to set people free. The devil is real, and he has a plan to deceive and destroy every one of us, and he comes at every one of us differently. He's got a trap and a plan, so we need to be fortified today in the Word of God. We need to be on our knees today. So you can see these disciples, you can see them, they're testifying of the mighty working of God in their lives. But I'm sure they're talking also about their sorrows and their disappointments and their weaknesses and their failures. So Jesus recognizes their condition, sees their need. And verse 31, and he said to them, Jesus said to his disciples, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Jesus comes to them, he sees their need, he sees they're exhausted and worn out. And he says, you guys have worked hard enough, it's time for a break. Come aside with me. Come aside and let's find a place and let's find rest together. Anybody a little worn and tired today? A little anybody exhausted from life today? See, Jesus is speaking to you just as much as he was to those disciples. And he's saying to you to come and find rest in me. These guys, look at how, were they working hard? I mean, these guys are workaholics, man, I'm telling you. They don't even have time to eat. Talk about committed to the cause of Jesus. The Message Bible says it this way: come off by yourselves, let's take a break and get a little rest. The NLT says, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. Some of you are overworked and overtired. Some of you here, I know, are working two jobs just to try to make ends meet. And when you put everything in your life and everything on your plate, it's hard to deal with all of it. Now, I got to tell you this, and I'm not trying to just build up, but Mr. T, I am so thankful, and I don't want to build up Mr. T, but I am just so thankful. He is a hard worker. Would you agree, all parents out there? And we're so thankful. And then I see Doug and all the years. And we know that you're moving to a different, but I see how hard, I'm just giving examples here, I know how hard you guys work. I see the time that you put in, and I realize, man, you guys need a getaway. You guys need some time off. I ran into somebody just this week, and they said, I am just tired. I'm just tired from all the things of this world. A tired, old-looking dog just happens to walk into a yard one day. And I'm going to tell the story. He tells the story. This man tells what happened. He says this older, sweet dog walks into the yard. The man goes over and pats him on the head. And then the man just happens to walk into his house, and this dog just follows him right in his house. Never seen the dog before in his life. Goes down the hallway, and this dog just follows him down the hallway and finds a corner, and the dog actually just curls up. This is a picture of the dog, just curls up and falls asleep. The dog slept for about an hour. After an hour, he gets up, goes to the door. The man lets him out and goes home. Now, the man, he says, I could tell the dog must have a home because it had a collar and he was well fed. So the dog leaves, and the next day, about the same time, here comes that dog again. He says he follows him into the house again, and it's nap time, down the hall, same place, same corner, lays down, takes an hour nap. Then after an hour, he goes home, and this happens for weeks. Finally, this is just driving this guy crazy. His curiosity gets the best of him, and so he puts a note on the collar, and he says, I would like to find out who the owner of this sweet, wonderful dog is. And I don't know if you're aware, but almost every afternoon, your dog comes to my house for a nap. The next day, here comes the dog back, and it has another note on the collar. And it says, he lives in a home of 6 children, and 2 are under the age of 3. He's trying to catch up on his sleep. Can I come with him tomorrow? That's good, isn't it? I love that because that's so much like life. Kids and jobs and church responsibility. We just need to get away. Some of you are running on empty today. And so I want to ask you, do you have a place of retreat that you can find rest? Are you doing things that feed your soul, that give you energy to face another day? Are you filling up so you have something to give? See, maybe it's time for you to come apart and rest a while. Are you drained spiritually? Are you feeling cold and dry and disconnected with God? Has church become a chore rather than a passion? Just one more thing on the to-do list. Is worship become a form rather than a heart experiences? Have you noticed that the pressures of life and the stresses of life, have you noticed that your fuse is shorter? That it seems like you can't ever get anything done. The list just gets longer and longer. See, it's all a sign that you need to get away and get away with Jesus. He understands, come apart by yourself to a deserted place, to a desert place, or a quiet place and rest. See, God has made us with a craving to get away. How many has a good vacation plan this summer? Anybody? Come on. Anybody excited about vacation? Come on. Man, I mean, golf. There's going to be golf this summer. And some of you are going to camp meeting this summer. Some of you are going to the beach this summer. Some of you are going to Hawaii this summer. I mean, maybe Alaska. I know some are actually gone on the Voice of Prophecy cruise right now. I am so jealous. I'm not supposed to covet, but anyway, I've always wanted to go to Alaska. See, God created us this way. He did not create us to be on 24/7. And I'm going to tell you, as important as the yearly vacation is, and I think every family, every person here should be intentional about spending special time together that one time a year, or twice a year as you go on vacation. But what I'm really concerned about is the rest that we can have every single day. We can have a mini vacation every day. Every single day, we can have a mini vacation. Ever since Education Sabbath, I keep going back to this Bible verse. It's in the Message version. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch out. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Do you guys like that? I mean, ever since I heard that Education Sabbath, I keep going back to that. I love that version. I love what it's saying, because what he's saying, if you come to me, you will live your life lighter and freer. And we all need that. And so Christ is saying to come. So I want to ask you, how are you doing with your mini vacation, your rest time with Christ every day? How are you doing with time with Jesus? Are you allowing the tyranny of the urgent to crowd out your time, that connection time, that refreshing time that you can find rest? Are you allowing things to crowd out this incredible time that we desperately need every day? See, it's a key, isn't it? Is it the key to the spiritual walk? Let me ask you, how long can you really be a Christian if there's no time with Jesus? It's incredible what happens. See, I'm a disciplined person. I'm just going to tell you, I'm disciplined. My wife hates it sometimes. But I'm just that kind of person. I don't function well outside of discipline. Some of you just have a hard time, so I get up early. I do everything. I go exercise. I do devotional. Well, let me tell you, every once in a while in life, though, you get hit with stuff that takes you out of your routine and your disciplines. I'm speaking on this because I had a really low time the last couple months spiritually. I know pastors have it all together, right? I got news for you, we don't. We could put on the face that everything's okay, but we're struggling just like everybody else. And I'm telling you, this thing that happened with my father and all the thing, it just took me away. It was amazing how just 3-4 hours of sleep a night and everything that happened, it just began to take it away. It was like a syringe just pulling the spiritual life out of me. And I didn't realize it. I was still praying. I was still reading my Bible a little bit. But see, I like to read my Bible a lot. I like to pray a lot. I'm drawn to it. It gives me strength for the day. Maybe you can relate with that. I love doing it. And it's not a chore for me. But I'll tell you, it's amazing how I just fell. And after two weeks, I noticed something. Man, I was cold spiritually. I realized what was happening. I got to get back. I got to recommit again. Now, I'm telling you that because I know there are those here today that know exactly what I'm talking about. And you know how life is. You got great intentions to spend your quiet, special time with God. But how excuses and little choices and things happen, and all of a sudden, you've totally lost your connection with Jesus, and you say, what happened? In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10, I love this, says, "My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me." Come away. See, the lover of our soul, Jesus, is there, and he says, come away with me every day. See, you want rest. See, what the world says is, you got to do this to be happy. And so you're texting, and you're on computer, and you got TV, and you're doing all this, and your mind is just going, and you go to bed with it, and you get up with it, and there's no time, and you're not refreshing your soul, and there's no strength, and there's no power, and there's no witness, and on. There's no victory outside of time and coming to Jesus. Ho, everyone that thirst. Are you thirsty? He says, come to the water. Who's the water? Who's the water of life that we desperately need? It is Jesus that comes and washes us and fills us until we become that fountain that sprays to everybody around us. Come away with me, Jesus is talking about. Desire of Ages, page 360. By the way, this is the best commentator on the life of Christ in the whole wide world. And it's my favorite book outside the Bible. I spend time often in the Desire of Ages. If you don't have a copy, come and see me. You got to have this book. It's incredible. But 360, he's talking about these verses, come apart and rest a while. And he says, by faith in him, they worked many miracles. But they need it now to feed on what? They need it now to feed on the bread of life. They've been working hard. They need to feed on the bread of life. They need to go to a place of retirement where they could hold communion with Jesus. Jesus knew what they needed. He knew they needed real rest. If you want real rest, then come. And by the way, when you come, you've already won the battle. If you're struggling, just come, just take the step, just do it, open the Bible, just pray, you've won the battle. Because the devil, he's doing everything to keep you from the Word of God in prayer. When you make the step to come, you've won the battle. And do it every day. And then find a deserted or a quiet place. That actually uses desert place. In other words, find a place to get away from the noise of the crowd. Get away from all the distractions. See, you know what? I'm loving what everybody's doing. How many of you have an iPad? No, you don't have to raise your hand. But pretty soon it's turning your iPad too, you know. That's what it's going to be in the churches pretty soon. You realize that. Or your iPhone. But the problem is when you're there, what I found when I'm there, it's all these other distractions. When you're bouncing around, there's a picture of this and this and that, you know what I'm saying? Jesus knew what we need. We need refreshment, only his voice. You know, only him. Not all the other stuff that is crowding it out. We live in this media-driven culture. And Jesus says, I want you to slow down, to listen, to focus on me. Find a place to get alone with me. That's what he's saying. Get alone with Christ. A preacher walks into a restaurant, and he notices a family of four sitting at a table eating together. And as he looks, he says, boy, how nice. It's great to see a family here eating together. As he went and sat down, he looked back and saw the family, and they were all bowing. And he said, oh, isn't that great? They're a Christian family, and they're all praying. But when he took a second look, he noticed that they were all on their iPhone. Mom, dad, and the kids, they're all on their own phone, and they're all texting, just texting furiously. So here they were in their family, and they're all texting somebody that's not even there. Folks, it's an example of what is happening, what we are suffering from in our families, in our church, in our spiritual lives. We are suffering from all the stuff that's bombarding us, and the devil has an agenda, and he's got one for you. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're spending time, by the way, the average American is spending about 30 hours in front of the idiot box and another 16 to 20 hours in front of the computer. That's 50 hours, and that's what's statistical. And then we don't even know about the texting and the video games on top of all that. Man, I tell you, it's not just us. We got to be careful for our kids. Because I'll guarantee the devil knows what he's doing, and he knows what he's doing with me, and he knows what he's doing with you. And he knows how to get us away and lose that connection, that power, that rest, that refreshment. Be still and know that I am God. Man, it is so hard to be still for me. I'm sorry. Now, I think it's harder for Mr. T. I'm sorry, I'm bugging Mr. T today. But, you know, being still, it's hard. I have to remind myself. I like adrenaline. I like moving, man. I tell you, it's amazing. You know, the way God has made me, it's hard to be still. You know, I get busier and busier, and my mind just swims all the time. And I tell you, the to-do list is killing me. You probably heard this. If the devil can't make us really bad, he'll try to make us really busy. Have you heard that? And then from a friend, she uses this. I got a friend that uses busy. It stands for busy under Satan's yoke. Have you heard that? Maybe you use that one. Busyness. Jesus is saying, come apart to a quiet place. Get away from the crowd. He's reminding us the essence of being a Christian isn't doing stuff for Jesus, but it's being with Jesus. Jesus was inviting his disciples to come out. Let's hang out. Let's just hang out together. Let's put your guard down. You don't have to have your guard up with me. You don't have to perform or act for me. Just simply be with me. Although their time in ministry was effective and God really used them powerfully, they had to disassociate themselves from ministry and the hectic pace of life. These guys were on, man. I mean, and you look at Jesus' life, people were constantly bombarding him and taking away their personal time and their connection. Have you seen that mystical figure, Atlas, that Greek mythology guy holding up the world? You know, you've seen that guy? Do you ever feel like that? Do you feel like you're carrying all these burdens of friends and family and church family and community? I mean, I feel the burden all the time as a pastor. I got to tell you something right now. The burdens get heavy as a pastor because I see this need and that need. This person's struggling over here. I feel the need to preach the gospel and share the gospel with Lodi. By the way, it's a command of Jesus, so I feel responsible for the people that don't know Jesus. I can't help it. And then when I get to know you, and I know you're struggling, I'm praying for you, and I'm hurting for you, and it's just natural. And a pastor, if you're a pastor, you know what I'm talking about. The burdens get heavy. And we feel like we just can't handle it anymore. But see, I've found there's a place to go that I can kind of give it away. And that's on my knees. That's my time with God. See, it's not doing the stuff for Jesus that impresses him. It's not about, God hasn't asked me to go out and conquer evil. This is some superhero. He's asked me to come and be with him. Get empowered by him. See, we can do it every single day. Doesn't that excite you at all in your busyness? That we can keep coming and find that place where there's nothing going on, and just connect and hear God's voice. It is time to be with Jesus. It's time to get back to the essence of Christianity. Retreats are so important. That's why we have men's retreats and women's retreats and army. That's why we have campouts and elders' retreats and camp meeting. I know a lot of you go to camp meeting. Isn't that a great time? Camp meetings are huge. I'm going to read about Jesus here again in Desire of Ages, page 362. Talking about Jesus, it says, no other life was ever so crowded with labor and responsibility as was that of Jesus. Yet how often he was found in prayer. How constant was his communion with God. Again and again in the history of this earthly life, are found records such as these. Rise up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. Mark 1:35. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 5:15 and 16. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Luke 6:12. If Jesus needed time away, don't we? If Jesus needed to connect with his Father in the busyness of his life, and there's never been anybody more busy than Jesus, if he needed to commune with Jesus, then so do we. Look at this quotation here in page 363. We must individually hear him speaking to the heart. When every other voice is hushed and in quietness, we wait before him. The silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. He bids us be still and know that I am God, Psalms 46:10. Here alone can true rest be found. And this is the effectual preparation for all labor for God. The more I do ministry, the more I realize this is the key. Amid the hurry and throng and the strains of life's intense activities, the soul that is thus refreshed will be surrounded with an atmosphere of light and peace. The life will breathe out fragrance and will reveal a divine power that will reach men's hearts. Man, I want that, don't you? I want to go back. Are you tired? Are you worn out, burn out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you recover your life. I have seen many of my colleagues in ministry that get burned out and leave. And when you do this, I begin to understand why. But I'll show you how to take real rest. I want real rest. Not the rest of the world. Not this wired out all vacation long adrenaline to pump to this thing to that. You know, we're all adrenaline junkies, most of us, at least young people are. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Don't you love that? There's rhythm. I won't lay anything heavy on or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. It's time to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And, you know, I think it's appropriate here that we mention the Sabbath. Anybody love the Sabbath? Can you live without the Sabbath? Man, it is not a two-hour-a-week thing where you go and see brothers and sisters at church. God has given us the Sabbath, a 24-hour, 1/7 of our time to come and to connect with God on this Sabbath, this incredible gift of joy and peace. And I can't live without it. I'm sorry. Now, I got to tell you something. I work harder than you do on the Sabbath. But there's a blessing I receive that you don't understand unless you come before the people of God and are used by God. I came across this book, and I had to get it. It's the Christian bookstore, and it said the big line across it is weird because normal's not working. Does that just grab you? You got to get the book. It's a great book. And he describes his own experience coming to Christ, and he talked about he was part of the fraternity and at the college and partying and all this stuff. And then he talks about coming to Jesus, how he just surrendered everything and how weird he became. He says, I wanted to be normal, but now I'm a follower of Christ and I am so weird. And you read his story. I mean, he was just out there. Crazy. He wasn't raised around Christianity. I mean, he's just crazy guy. Now he has a huge church of like 10,000 people, this guy, but just amazing his experience of, and I want to ask you, are you weird for God? Are you a peculiar people? Weird. He goes on to talk about, you know, how backwards it is to surrender your life completely to Jesus because the society, the culture says, you know, what it says, live for yourself. Everything's about you. He goes on to talk about how weird it is to be a Christian because, you know, Christians give 10% of their income as tithe to God. That is weird, he said, because this society is so greedy, so materialistic. It's weird. It's backwards. It's not the norm. It's against society to give back to God what is holy to God. And I was just going, amen. I love this stuff, you know? Then he starts talking about how weird it is not to have sex outside of marriage. Whoa. I mean, he has a whole chapters on it in this book. How backwards, see, the world is, oh, you sleep around before you get married. You test things out like testing a car, see if it works. And I tell you, everybody's, church is doing, people inside the church are doing, out there, in there, it's everywhere. And it's getting worse, I tell you. But he says, how weird it is to say, I'm going to be a holy person of God. And I'm going to wait till wedding day. It's backwards. It's not normal. And then he goes in as he's talking about time with God, how strange it is really to give time every day in your busy, stressed out life for God. But then he goes into the Sabbath. He uses that Sunday. And he's talking about this time and church and all this stuff. And I said, Pastor Craig, you have missed it. If you want to be weird, become a Seventh-day Adventist. Amen? Amen? I mean, we keep the whole day, the seventh day of the Lord. The Sabbath, man, I'll tell you what. The world, the Christian world doesn't even know what weird is. It's weird to the society. But it's life to the people that know about the Sabbath. It is everything. It becomes joy. It's what we live for. We are such a blessed people to know the truth of the Sabbath. I want to be weird. I don't want to go and flow along with the current. I know where that's going. That's the broad way. I want to go the narrow way with Christ. The unforced rhythms of life are so important. So let's make it practical. I'm going to do this quickly. Be intentional about your daily quiet time with Jesus. Do this quickly. Set aside time, everyday time. You know, come apart. Do it for a while. Notice there's no set time. You know, Spirit of Prophecy talks about an hour contemplating the life of Christ. Spend what you can handle to start with. Commit some time to Jesus. Do it every day. Find a quiet place free from distractions. Read or study God's Word. Make it part of it. Don't leave too early. Don't miss the blessing. Don't rush through the reading of the Word of God. You will shortchange yourself. Pray. I like to get on my knees. Maybe you don't like to get on your knees, but just pray. It's not about posture. It's about talking to God as a friend. Be still and listen. If you just did these simple things, make it simple. Come, do this, and you will watch. Now, I got to tell you something. When I started to see what's been happening in my life, all I have to do, it's amazing, I get back and I start doing this again, and all of a sudden, I feel connected again. Be intentional about your Sabbath. Plan a little extra time with Jesus. In other words, you know, most Sabbaths, we like to sleep in. Barely make it to church on time if you do that. No. Plan. Everybody's quiet, right? Plan a little extra time with Jesus. Make the Sabbath like a date with Christ. Prepare for it. Dress up. Get ready. Fellowship. Invite people over. I love that about certain people in our church. They're always inviting people over, getting connected. Make a visit or two. There's so many people hurting. Look around you right now. How many people do you know you can look around and the Spirit of God will impress you? There are people that should be here that aren't. You can make that visit. Make worship and praise a priority. Don't stay home every Sabbath and sleep all day. You will miss the blessing. Amen? Amen. Boy, everybody's like this. I'm kind of quiet on that one. We need each other. This is the body of Christ. So important. Now I want to talk about this summer. Be intentional about this summer. Be intentional about your vacation. Make sure you find time for your family. Make sure every day you spend time with Jesus. Don't say, man, I can't wait to get out there, and you have 2 weeks of adrenaline and no time with Jesus. Make it that special time. Bring a good book. Make sure you're there with Christ every day during this time. I tell you, I am such an adrenaline junkie that I love on vacation time, and I love to go to bicycle and to this, to that, to the other thing. Anybody relate with that? I mean, can't help it. I have to be intentional, okay? I have to be intentional about my break. And the last one, remember, it's usually during those times when you're off that you get in trouble. Amen. That's why I can't go to Las Vegas. I'm sorry, can't do it. You know? God wants to bless you this summer. I don't have it all together, just like you don't. I don't care if you've walked with Christ for 50 years, and I know that you think you got it all together. God has another level for you. Amen. And there is a rest, there is a peace, there is a joy. Until this rest, it just exudes, it becomes a fragrance, it just falls on everybody around you. Let's make this summer the best ever. Amen. Let's find this deeper walk with Jesus. Let's find some rest for our weary souls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for every brother and sister that is here today. I want to thank you, Father, for the incredible God that you are, that every day you are like our lover, calling us to come to you and find closeness and intimacy, rest and refreshment with you. Lord, in this summer, we got a lot of things. It's exciting. You know, we got a lot of things planned. But Lord, I pray you'll be in the center of all of it. And at the end of the summer, we'll be more connected with you, more ready to face what life throws at us. Bless us, Father, on this incredible day of the Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.